What is going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Sports Impact with Jovan Mack. Hope you guys are all having a good day so far. You know, just clearing up now, my voice might sound a little bit weird for this episode. Been dealing with some allergies, a little bit cold, but, you know, with April season, allergies also comes playoff basketball. And that's what we're talking about today. There's been a lot of exciting games, a lot of exciting series. Yeah, let's just get into it. So, you know, it's Monday now. This past weekend, the playoffs started after a few good play-in games. And we finally get to see, you know, how the bracket's looking, how it's all stacking out. And the first couple games, you know, despite the scores, they were all entertaining games. Now, what's interesting is that for the first time since 2013, every single home game won game one, which is very interesting. You know, especially when we're talking about how even a lot of these series are, it's pretty interesting to see how vital home court advantage will be in this year's playoffs. So just to start out, we had games on Saturday and Sunday. And to start out, we had the Orlando Magic versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Going into the series, I had the Cleveland Cavaliers winning in about seven games. And, you know, I was a little worried for the series, I'm not going to lie to you. The Orlando Magic, one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. Paolo Banchero is a rising star. Franz Wagner joins him as a co-star. And Orlando, just their depth, their experience with guys like Joe Ingles, I mean, they're a threat. But Cleveland really handled them, and it was impressive seeing how they bounced back. After last year, you know, anyone who knows anything, Cleveland had a pretty disappointing playoffs against the New York Knicks. Paolo Banchero in his first playoff game had 24 points, which is pretty good. He shot good efficiency, 9-17. His main issue, though, was turnovers, 9 turnovers. He's a young player, you know, 21, 22 years old, first playoffs. You expect him, you know, struggle in his first game. The lights are very bright in the playoffs. You don't really know how, these young guys are going to come out and play. And despite his turnovers, he had a good game. And Franz Wagner, too, also had a good game with 17 points, 3 blocks. On Cleveland's side, Donovan Mitchell, you know, he had a pretty bad playoffs this past 2 years. And people started to look at him differently because ever since his rookie year, he was a great playoff performer. But he seemed to get back on track with his Utah days as he had 30 points on over 50% shooting. And he was scoring, he was facilitating, he was making highlight plays, and he was playing winning basketball. And that's what Cleveland has to do if they really want to advance and contend for a conference championship this season. Jared Allen and Evan Mobley also had 2 good games, each of them scoring 16 points. Jared Allen finished with 18 rebounds while Evan Mobley finished with 11. And here's one thing that I think is going to be very big going forward for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Evan Mobley, we've talked about his development for the last couple of years, you know, since his rookie season. He's a great defender. He's an All-NBA potential defender. But at the same time, he's got a lot of potential when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. And we really saw, you know, what he could become. Hitting 2-of-4 from 3. That doesn't sound crazy. But when you think about Evan Mobley, you really want him to be a player that's, you know, more aggressive. And the fact that he's even attempting 4 threes, let alone hitting 2 of them, that's a good sign for Cleveland Cavaliers fans, not only for this season, but going forward. Overall, Orlando, you know, if they're trying to get a win game 2 and eventually win the series, they're going to need to shoot better. They shot 33% from the field, which is egregious, and 21.6% from 3. Guys like Cole Anthony had a terrible game, not even getting a shot off. I mean, not a shot off, but not even making a shot. I mean, he's a guy who's averaged, you know, double figures in his career, one of the best scorers off the bench. He's got to play better. And I think he's their key. He, Suggs. Suggs should not be taking 16 shots, shooting 4 of 16. I mean, I give him props for continuously shooting the ball, but he's going to have to get his efficiency up, despite how good he is on defense. And in Cleveland, you know, one thing that's interesting about them, I found about the game, is that they were never down. They led from the jump, and they never let that lead go. And like I said, Donovan Mitchell, he is a playoff riser, and this team's going to go where he goes. I think they truly can make a conference championship, even though they'd have to get past Boston. They normally play Boston well. But in order for them to do that, we're going to need contributions for Mobley. We're going to need contributions for Mitchell. And definitely we're going to need contributions for Darius Garland, because while he was efficient, he only had 14-8 today, which is good. You know, it's good. But what I want to see from Darius Garland going forward is for him to be a reliable second option, averaging 20 alongside of Mitchell, averaging around 28. But yeah, that's all I have for the Magic Cavs game that took place on Saturday afternoon. Then the next game, we had the Phoenix Suns versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. This game was electric. And we'll get to that in a second. First, I'd like to talk on the Phoenix Suns. Despite the dominating loss, Kevin Durant still did his thing with 31-7. This guy's, you know, 35 years old, still playing at an efficient, you know, efficient rate in the NBA playoffs. And my guy here is going to need some help from his co-stars. Ever since Bradley Beal was traded, they've been talking about this big three and how elite they're going to be. Devin Booker, he's taken the Suns to the finals before. We know that he is not a slouch. He's the best shooting guard in the NBA. He cannot be shooting 5 of 16 from the field. That's what he shot on Saturday. 18 points, not okay. He needs to step up and help his co-star. Bradley Beal, 15 points on 6 of 10, you know, shooting 60% from the field. If you're on fire, if you see your team needs you, take more shots. You know, from book standpoint, you know, when you're off, you still want to be aggressive. But, you know, find other ways to help your team win. You know, make some good plays on offense, play some good defense. But overall, you know, the Phoenix Suns' big two outside of KD only combining for 33 points is not going to get it done. It's not going to get done because of Anthony Edwards. They call him Baby Jordan. This guy is different, and he's been different. You can tell since his first series against the Memphis Grizzlies, this kid was going to be a problem. Against Denver last year, he averaged 31 in the playoffs. And we see him drop 33, 9, and 6, including 18 points in the third quarter where he truly took over in this game. That kid's not scared of anything, man. I mean, that third quarter run he went on, he went back at KD not once, not twice, but three straight possessions he went at KD. And not only did he go at him, he talked his talk. And Ant is such a special player. And if Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, if they can keep up a high level of play, this team can make it, you know, make a finals run. I truly believe so. Bruce Brown, you know, who's been, you know, removed from Denver this past year. He said, you know, Denver's biggest comp last year was the Minnesota Timberwolves, even though the Timberwolves even won one game. Karl Anthony Towns, 19 points on 5 and 9, very efficient. You know, only 9 shots, 19 points. He played a pretty good game. He's still getting back from his injury. But I really want to talk about, you know, also Gobert, you know, 14-16. Props to him. Played good defense. And also, I was impressed by one play where he had Devin Booker in a corner. And despite Devin Booker scoring, because he's an elite offensive player, his perimeter defense was very good on that play. And he doesn't get enough credit for his perimeter defense. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had 18 off the bench, 4-for-9 from 3. In order for the Timberwolves to really make a run, they're going to need that type of play from Nikhil, from Mike Conley, from Naz Reid. They're going to need that kind of play. Now, my biggest takeaway from Phoenix overall, 32.1% from 3 is not going to cut it. You got three of some of the best scorers of our generation. Y'all need to shoot better from the field. And yes, obviously, we know Grayson Allen got injured in the game, but y'all just overall as a team, y'all need to shoot better. And if y'all really want to make this a series, who I had the Suns actually winning the series, had the Suns in 7, after seeing how they play in Minnesota in, you know, the regular season. If they're going to win the series, they're going to need to step it up. And KD can't be doing it backpacking at his age. Right now, I think I'm still – I don't know. This is hard. If I were to switch it, I'd maybe take Minnesota in 7, but I'm not going to let one game change everything. I'll wait till game 2, and I'll see if there's any main difference. And a biggest takeaway from Minnesota's advantage is that they had a 52-28 rebound advantage, which is very, very impressive. You know, Yusuf Nurkic has done a lot of talking in the past, but he's got to back it up. He's got to start getting boards if they really want to win these games. So, yeah, that was another really good game on Saturday. Then we had the 76ers versus the Knicks. This game is very interesting to me. Going into the series, I had the Knicks winning in 7 games, knowing that the 76ers were 32-8 prior to this game with Joel Embiid on the court. And I'm going to be real with you. You know, Jalen Brunson didn't have an ideal game. He had 22-7-7, but, I mean, he needed 26 shots for his 22 points. Dante DiVincenzo didn't play great either, even though he was third in the league in three-pointers made. But low-key, if Joel Embiid was somewhat healthy, I would have Philly winning the series. And the reason for that is because Joel Embiid, despite playing on one leg after that injury right before halftime, finished with 29 points. Tyrese Maxey had 33 points. Sure, Kyle Lowry had a great game, but I expect Tobias Harris and Kelly Oubre to play better. But you just saw when Joel Embiid came back in that game, they were down, what, 13? And they went on a run and took the lead. The last few possessions of the game, Joel Embiid would take, you know, mid-range jumpers. And, you know, a majority of them were short, and that mostly was due to his injury. Now, I think Philly would have won this game if Tyrese Maxey was given the opportunity instead of how most possessions relied on Embiid, because Maxey was cooking, 33 points once again. But, yeah, I don't know. I think this is going to 7 still. I truly do. These two teams face off today. I don't know. I heard Maxey was sick, so I'm going to have New York taking a 2-0 lead, but I'm not doubting Philly. Kyler had a great game with 18 and 4 threes. And Josh Hart, you know, he gets some hate from time to time. You know, sometimes he makes goofy plays, which he did earlier in the game. But he played well. He had, you know, 22 points, 13 rebounds. He had 3 clutch threes. He just played really well. And Deuce McBride, who's becoming one of my, you know, favorite players to watch, he had 21 points, 5 three-pointers in the game. And with Dante not playing well, his 5 threes were very, very important. And I really want to see him get more play time and more run, because with a guy like Julius Randle out, you're going to need a second option, a consistent second option. And it seems like whenever he's given that kind of opportunity, he thrives in it. So overall, just one takeaway for Philly, they were out-rebounded 55-33. I think that has, you know, a lot to do with Joel Embiid being injured, Paul Reed being, you know, limited in size, and the Knicks having guys like Hartenstein and having, you know, like a guy like Mitchell Robinson. And another thing is the Knicks shooting 45.7% from three. I don't know how attainable that is, but, I mean, that's with Jalen Brunson not shooting well. That's with Dante not shooting well. So this Knicks team, I mean, if they can get back this series, if Brunson could play the way he's played all year, this team could be a legitimate threat in the Eastern Conference. Then the fourth game is Saturday, the final game, the Lakers versus the Nuggets. Lakers got a 103, Nuggets had a 114. And if I'm a Lakers fan, I'm worried, because LeBron had 27, 8, and 6. AD had 32 and 14. And it was not enough. And Denver had a 12-point deficit late in the second quarter. Lakers were up 12. And within 2 minutes, the game was tied. And that's what I honestly think sometimes, like the Nuggets, they coast a little too much, but then when they lock in, they lock in. D'Angelo Russell is a big storyline of this game, shooting 1-9 from 3. Not efficient at all, not what the team needs. Austin Reeves needs to get more shots up. D'Lo needs to be more efficient. He needs to play the way he has all season. If you're playing elite all season or at a high level, there's no reason why you should drop off in the playoffs. You can't use all these excuses. You need to not look at how bright the lights are. Start playing ball. And Jamal Murray, you know, he's been a playoff performer, but he shot 9 of 24. He shot 9 of 24, you know, and he didn't have a great game. Jokic had his 32, 12, and 7, but Jamal Murray not having a good game, coupled with AD and LeBron playing so well, and still having double-digit loss. I originally had the Nuggets winning in 6, but if this game showed me anything, this could be another sweep, just like last year. So shifting off from Saturday, you know, we had Heat versus Celtics yesterday. Celtics got a 20-point win. It was pretty dominant from the beginning. It was just bad overall. They got up to 30 at one point. Tyler Herro, he's been inefficient this whole run, these three games that Miami's played so far. Only 11 points. Jaime Jaquez, I like to see him play well. He had 16 points on 50% shooting. And Bam Adebayo having 24 points. This was just without Jimmy Butler, you could just tell how outmatched Miami is. Not even just missing Jimmy, but missing Terry Rozier. That's two guys who create a lot of offense. And, I mean, I don't really have much to say. Like, the Celtics dominated. Tatum had 23, 10, and 10. His first playoff triple-double. But he shot 7 of 18. And that's not ideal, you know, especially when you're talking about a team that's missing two of their best players. And, you know, y'all are trying to make a finals. Y'all are trying to win a championship. And Tatum's going to have to be more efficient. That's just a fact. I say this every single year. I need to see him play elite ball 90% of the games he plays. Because when he doesn't, that's what leads to Celtics losses. Thankfully for them, they're playing a team that, you know, is missing two of their best players. Big segue for Miami. Caleb Martin, he was pretty great in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. He had 4 points last night. I mean, if you're a Miami Heat fan, you're expecting more. If you're one of his teammates, you're expecting more. He's not a star. He's not anything close to a star, but he's, you know, you're starting shooting guard or one of your primary scorers with two of your guys out. He needs to be better. And a takeaway for Boston is, once again, Boston Celtics fans will tell you this. They shoot way too many threes. Way too many. The Celtics allowed a 26-7 run against Miami in the fourth quarter with their five starters in. Drew, Derek, Jalen, Jason, and Kristaps were all still on the court, and they allowed a 26-7 run. The Miami Heat almost made it again. And you really got to think, if Jimmy Butler's playing this game, if Terry Rozier's playing this game, do they win that game? Now, you know, injuries are always a thing, so, like, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Celtics winning, but that is something to look at when you're reminded how the Celtics, you know, played against Miami 2 years ago in that game seven, and they were up double digits with barely any time left, and they were a Jimmy Butler three from losing the game. So, yeah. I still have Celtics in, I mean, I had them in five. I'm still going to give Miami the respect of winning one game. I still got Celtics in five for that. Then the Mavericks versus the Clippers. This game was very entertaining. If you're just as a basketball fan, because you hear all the talk, you know, James Harden, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, three of the best players from this past generation that are now getting up there in age. Neither one of them has a ring. You know, PG, they all get slandered on their playoff play. But Harden had 28-8. He made 6 out of 11 threes. PG had 22-6. Westbrook had 13 points in 23 minutes. I mean, and Westbrook's defense on Luka and Kyrie was amazing. Insane. And it was just great to watch, truly. I had the Mavs in 6 before the series. I'm going to have to change that because this is a game without Kawhi Leonard, your best player. And sure, I think when Kawhi's going to come back, you know, Harden's going to take a step back. He's going to take a lesser role. But this still showed me something, despite Luka having 33-13 on bad efficiency and Kyrie having 31-7. The Mavericks didn't even come close. They were down 29 at one point without Kawhi playing. And a big reason for that is Ivica Zubac having 20-15. So, yeah, the Mavs are in trouble. You know, you never want to overreact to a game. As the saying goes, the playoff series doesn't truly start until a road team wins a game. So we will see, but the fact that the Clippers weren't down once in a game without Kawhi is bad for Dallas and Dallas fans. Especially with the fact when you realize the rest of the Mavericks, outside of their big two, combined for 33 points. How are you going to win a game if your teammates combine for 33 points? Outside of your big two. It's not going to happen. At all. Only had 97 points. So going forward, I think the Mavs, you know, I don't know Kawhi's status. I think the Mavs are going to make game two a lot more, you know, a lot tougher. I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, what more can Luka and Kyrie really do at this point? But we're going to see. Then we had the Pacers versus the Bucks yesterday. And I don't know if you realize, like, all these games up to this point are double-digit games. But despite that, these were still very entertaining games. Pacers fans, I don't really know what to say. I mean, a lot of people had the Pacers in 6 and 7 games with Giannis' injury going into the series. But yesterday was bad. Damian Lillard dropped 35 at halftime, going up 27 against you guys. With a healthy Halliburton. With a healthy Siakam. It's not going to cut it. Siakam had 36-13. Props to him. I mean, he would seem like the only one out there really trying. I didn't expect him to play that well, but he showed that, you know, when he's needed, he's going to show up. But Tyrese Halliburton, post-November, has had a steep fall-off. Now, you can blame his injury for that, but it has been 4 months, and he has still not gone to that level where he was all-NBA looking like 29-12 kind of guy. He's been a 17-11 kind of guy, which is a steep drop-off. He had 9-8-7. It's not even like he was inefficient. He shot 4-7 from the field. In what world in the playoffs does your best player shoot 7 shots? 7. Hallie, you're an all-star. You're an all-star starter. you can't just take 7 shots in a playoff game. Maybe the lights were too bright. But we saw Siakam show up. And he's going to need to do better. He's got to take more shots. He's got to be more aggressive. If they really want to at least win a game in this series. Chris Middleton also had a pretty impressive game. 23-10. It's really nice seeing him get back to his old self somewhat. You know, he was pretty efficient overall. And then Bobby Portis with 15-10 also, taking Giannis' spot on the lineup. It's pretty good. As I just mentioned, a big takeaway for Indiana. Hallie needs to shoot more. He needs to take more shots. And one thing to look at for Milwaukee, you know, he only took 5 shots in the second half. But Damian Lillard has 0 points in the second half. You know, they doubled him from half court, which makes sense. And they were up 30, so like it makes sense why he wasn't aggressive. But zero's kind of worrisome, especially when you think the Pacers might display that same game plan in game 2 and just let Bobby beat him, and let Chris beat him, and let Brooke beat him. So we'll see what happens. I have the Bucks still winning the series in 6 or 7 games, especially when Giannis comes back eventually, whenever he does. And in the final game, which happened to be the best game of game 1s, it was the Pelicans versus the Thunder. 8 seed versus 1 seed. Thunder won 94-92 after a clutch shave and 1 basket with less than 30 seconds left. The Pelicans, it's just, I hate injuries so much. Just seeing Jimmy and the potential the Heat have, you know, and B, the potential the 76ers have. You know, Kawhi, the Clippers, Giannis, the Bucks. I mean, if Zion was on this team, I really think the Thunder fans should be really, really worried. Brandon Ingram had 12 points on 5 of 17 shooting. Sure, he came off, you know, a little MCL injury. Not a little MCL injury, but an MCL injury. But he's got to be better. CJ McCollum had 20 points, but that last possession was awful. They had 30 seconds on the clock. He dribbles the whole thing out and shoots a goofy 3-pointer. You only need 2 points. Run offense. Let Trey Murphy get a shot up. Find Herb Jones under the rim. You know, Valanciunas. I just don't think that game plan Willie Green had at the end of the game. Maybe it was CJ's plan. Maybe it was Willie's. I don't think it was good. Valanciunas, despite, you know, the loss, had 13 points, 20 boards. Great game. Trey Murphy had 21 points. He's such a good 3-point shooter. And then on OKC side, SGA, despite being pretty inefficient, finished with 28 with the clutch basket. Had 5 points in the last minute, which really took him the lead. And then we had Chet, you know, first playoff game, 15 points, 11 boards, and 5 blocks. You know, it wasn't an amazing game. J-Dub didn't have an amazing game either, despite his 18 points. But the 5 blocks were all pivotal. It's just so interesting to me seeing how at the beginning of this year, everyone was talking about Chet's probably going to be injured. He's going to be bullied. He was second in blocks, you know, behind Wimby. He's staying on his own. And he's played every single OKC game this year. Still, OKC win the series. I think it's going to go to 6 or 7. If I had to pick one, I'd say 7 because, you know, hopefully, I don't know how likely it is, but I do want to see Zion come back. Biggest takeaways from this one are the Pelicans, you know, shooting 38.5% from the field, 28.2% from 3. And while that sounds bad, OKC also wasn't very efficient. 43.5% from the field, 31.3% from 3. I don't believe either one of these teams is going to shoot like this next game. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think it's going to be entertaining. This is low-key one of my favorite series that we're getting. And yeah, those are just my biggest takeaways. We have a 3 games today. We got Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers game 2. I do, you know, the Magic had a good run late in game 1. If I were to pick one win in this game, Orlando went on a good run. I think Paul's going to cut down his turnovers. But I can see a big Darius Garland game. And I think Cleveland's going to take game 2. Now, Knicks versus, you know, the 76ers. This game could really go either way. Joel Embiid's had a day's rest. If Tyrese Maxey's healthy, I can see the Knicks taking this game. But I don't see Jalen Brunson or Dante DiVincenzo playing as bad. So like I said earlier, I have the Knicks winning that game. And in Denver versus the Lakers, I got Denver winning it. Denver just so much, so much better. So yeah, just wanted to do a little recap on the games we've had this season, share my thoughts on each series and who's going to win and how many games, and just talk about a little bit about today's games. But yeah, hope you guys have a good rest of your day. This is Sports Pack with Jovo and Mac. Let's enjoy these games today, and hope you guys have a good rest of your day.